Welcome to the Leading Men Podcast. I'm your host, James Haley. This podcast is dedicated to helping Christian men become better leaders at home and in the church. This week, we'll discuss being peaceful in the face of storms with Reverend Adamola Shedande from Calvary Gathering Ministry in Memphis, Tennessee. Leading Men is a listener-supported podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, you can help us in a number of ways. First, you can subscribe for free on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Your reviews increase our visibility and help us reach more men. Second, you can share this podcast with your friends, family, and men's group. Finally, you can provide a donation on our website at leadingmennow.com/donate. I want to give a special thank you to the men of Crossroads United Methodist Church in Collierville, Tennessee, for inviting me to speak with them last week. We talked about the mission of leading men and also wanted to talk to them about rethinking men's ministry. Men's ministry is usually thought of in several ways. When we think about men's ministry, we think about pancake breakfasts, fundraisers, maintaining church grounds, and other general fellowship activities. I want to think of men's ministry in a different way. For example, the mission of the United Methodist Men is to help men grow in Christ so others may know Christ. All men's groups should have a similar mission, regardless of denomination. Tony Evans states in his book, Kingdom Man, that each church ought to make one of its primary priorities as having a men's ministry that seeks to instruct, inspire, encourage, equip, and hold accountable its men to become kingdom men. As men, let's take a long, hard look at our men's ministries. Are we helping our men grow in Christ? Are we equipping them to be disciples and lead the church? If not, now's a good time to make a change. And now with Reverend D from Calvary Gathering Ministry in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome to the show, Reverend D.
Thank you so much.
And today we're going to talk about being peaceful in the face of a storm. And before we get started, just tell me a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much. My name is Adimola Okwala Shedende. I'm originally from Nigeria. I've been a U.S. citizen now for over 8 years, going to 9 years. And to the glory of God, I've been in the ministry virtually all my life. And since I was in the U.S., I've been an associate minister at University of Memphis, the Wesley Foundation. I've worked at Colonial Park UMC. I've been at Long Street UMC. I've pastored Holy Community UMC. I've pastored Calvary Longview UMC. And now I'm currently the chief servant caregiver for Calvary Gathering Ministry.
Okay, that's great. Now, when I reached out to you, you said you want to talk about being peaceful in the face of a storm.
So yes.
I just want to know, what inspired you to want to talk about that topic right now?
Right now, if we look at the country being United States of America, it's in a war. We are in a storm. We have a lot of shootings. We have a lot of things going on. We are not peaceful right now. We have problem in our hand. I mean, not just a matter of political issue, but a matter of reality of what's going on. We have shooting almost every other day. And we can say almost every day in different parts of the country. Some are not being reported. Only yesterday, we have some shootings up there in Washington, and it's been downplayed like it never happened. So we are going through a period of turmoil in this country.
We talked about some of this on a previous podcast, but from your perspective, how did we get here? Why is there so much turmoil around this police-related killings and all that?
Well, we've had people have advanced different reasons, and we can still continue to advance different reasons from the issue of, okay, we're not having good relationship, we're not having good training, we having this, we having that. But what I think is that basically as an individual, because it's the individual and the family that makes up the whole society, I think we need to look towards herself, point the fingers towards herself and ask herself, how do I as a person contribute to the problem that we have in my society? And if we look at each other, then we begin to see some problems that are inherent. And one of the basic things that I have observed is the fact that the ethos of America is based on individualism, self. And so that kind of make us to be very selfish as an individual. We want things to go our own way. If it's not our own way, then it is not good. It is not right. We all want to assert our individual freedom, forgetting the fact that if everybody asserts their freedom, then when you assert your own freedom, you are stepping on the toes of another person, and that there are laws and rules to guide each and every one of us so that we can cohabit, we can live peaceably together with one another. If we go into the scriptures, Romans chapter 12, 18 tells us that if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, in other words, depending on me, depending on you as an individual, not depending on the government, not depending on any other person, but you, God wants us to live at peace with all, with everybody, not just with people in your own community, not just with people in your color, but if it's within you, something that you can do, then make sure that you do that, live peaceably. So if we pursue peace, even in the midst of storm, then we'll begin to solve some of these problems.
And when you say to be at peace, what does it mean to be peaceful in the face of a storm? What does that mean in layman terms?
In a layman term, to be peaceful in the face of storm, or to be peaceful, is to, I'll just say, let go, let it go. Like, we have this cliche that people say, oh, let go and let God. Okay, how many of us do really let go and let God? To let go means you are, even though you are right, even though you have things that you can hold on to, but for the sake of peace, so that everybody won't be at war of fighting or having malice towards one another, you just let go your right. It's like, I mean, we don't want to hold on to our rights. So to be peaceful means to let go, to just take it easy, to just let go. I mean, just smile. I mean, somebody caught you on the traffic, for instance, you just want to let go. You just want to smile and say, oh, God bless that person. You know, not trying to take back what you think rightfully belongs to you.
We're being peaceful in the midst of storms, and we already talked about one storm with the police-related killings. What are some of the other storms that people are dealing with that need to be peaceful in? Can you give us some examples of storms?
Storms. It storms everywhere. The Word of God tells us that the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's John 10:10. Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us in all its abundance. So we have a lot of storms going on, sometimes with our health, sometimes on our job, sometimes in our places of worship. We do not agree with one another. We have an issue. Sometimes it's just an issue of respect or being disrespectful to one another. And we have a lot of storms going on. Anything that is not making us as an individual or as a family or as a nation to fulfill the grace and the peace of God upon our life is a storm. Like, I mean, for couples, for instance, that are married, and a lot of family are going through a time of storm. I mean, they're fighting in their marriage. They're not seeing eye to eye because the man, the woman want to do what they want to do. And I mean, there is storm even in the family. The kids are not listening to their parents. And I mean, it's all, if I can use the word, messed up.
Right. Okay, we understand what it means to be peaceful. We know what storms are now. How can we learn to be peaceful in the midst of storms? What are some steps people can take?
Okay, we can be peaceful in the time of storm when we do what God wants us to do. A lot of times we know the scriptures, we quote the scriptures, but we really don't want to do what the scripture says. For example, we hear and we know all of the time the scripture that says that we should be sober, we should be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion looking for who he may devour. And so because we are fighting a kind of a spiritual war, not just a kind of a spiritual war, it is a spiritual war, although a lot of us fail to see and to recognize that, we just go about as if nothing is going on. A lot of us wake up, we don't even have communication with God, we don't pray and all that. And so it's tough when we are not in line with God, and then we want to experience the life of God that is peaceful. So for us to be peaceful is to ask yourself, am I doing what God wants me to do? Like, before I even go on to talk about the steps, I would like to say one or two words about being disobedient, for instance, because like being disobedient is one of the main factors. Everybody want to do what they want to do, so they are not being obedient to the law that guides all of us. And the Bible let us know that the sons of disobedience, we can see something about that in Ephesians chapter 2, that they walked following the course of this world, because the prince of the air, that is the devil, that walk in them is because the spirit, they were following the prince of the power of the air. And the spirit that is now at work is in the sons of disobedience. I mean, to be disobedient means that people just want to do what they want to do. They don't want to follow God. The Galatians 5, for instance, tells us that the works of the flesh are made manifest. These are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envies, murder, revelings. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And if we are allowing the spirit of the disobedience to be made manifest in us, we are not going to have the peace of God. So how do we have this peace of God? That is the question. And the answer is we have to be led by the spirit of God. I mean, we have the spirit of the disobedient, the spirit of the devil, and we have the spirit of God. At a point in history, God was talking to the children of Israel, and it was like, I'm setting before you life and death, but I will advise that you choose life. It's the same thing. Life is about choices that we make, and we all make choices all of the time. So are we making the right choice or the wrong choice? And what is it that is going to help us to make the right choice? God will help us to make the right choice when we stay in God, when we listen to God, when we read the word of God, when we hear what God is telling us through the men of God and people of God. And as a matter of fact, God is always talking to each and every one of us. All we need to do is to slow down, breathe, and listen. I said, God, what are you saying? I tell you, God will speak to you if only you are ready to hear him. And it's not only hearing him, but doing what he asks you to do. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That is what the scripture tells us. And we know the kind of the spirit that works in the children of God is called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit of God is just one fruit. And within that fruit, we have so many components, like love, like joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, hope, meekness, temperance. The Bible says, against these there is no law. So if we are exhibiting the spirit of love to one another. If I love you, my first instinct as a police officer will not be for me to bring out my gun and shoot. If I love you, I mean, if I'm seeking joy, I want to see what is troubling you. How can I be of help? I mean, if I'm seeking for peace, I'm not going to say a word that will aggravate you. I mean, in the book of Psalm, part of the Psalm tells us that, I mean, ash word bring forth fight, but peaceful word brings forth calm. In other words, I mean, when I allow the Spirit of God to work in me, then I'm exhibiting the fruit of that Spirit, which is totally opposite of what the devil wants me to do, which will help me to just let go, even when somebody is at my face, even when somebody is doing what I don't like, even when somebody is trying to trample upon me, I can be humble. I can say, okay, for the sake of peace, for the sake of God, I'm gonna let it go. That doesn't mean I'm weak. That means I'm even strong to be able to recognize that, oh, you ready to give in to the devil? I'm not going to give in to the devil. I'm not going to let anger, I'm not going to let strife take over me. I'm going to let the Spirit of God walk in me and through me to ensure that we can live peaceably with one another.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about being able to listen to God. And a lot of people new to the faith or people who are not Christians at all struggle with that, you know, hearing God. You know, God's not going to call me on my smartphone. I can hear him clear, like I'm talking to you on the phone, like, James, do this, Reverend D, do that. It's not, we don't hear God like we hear other people. How can people truly learn to hear God and hear what he's saying and know it's true, they're truly hearing God?
All right. I will say, let's imagine now God as our father, our mother, our friend, somebody close and special to us. How do we hear them when they talk to us? People that are close to us and are special to us that we hold highly, that we respect and respect us, they talk to us in various ways and we hear them. And they talk to us sometimes by just looking at us, giving us that look, like when the mother gives the child that look that you dare not. Just that look, the child hears, oh, my mama is telling me, don't do that. So in the same way, when the husband looks at the wife and it's like, okay, come on, let's go. The wife is like, oh, Lord, he probably needs something. So hearing from God is not limited to just preaching, to just, oh, I didn't hear what the preacher say. I didn't hear that voice. I didn't hear that little voice. Hearing from God comes from relationship. So when we have that relationship with God as our friend, as our father, as our mother, as a child, as whatever you want God to be in your life, the word of God says his name is I Am. So God is everything that you can think of that is positive in your life. So for you to listen and hear God is to have a relationship with him. So when you have that relationship with God, God will have a special way of talking to you. For sometimes for me, I might be watching a movie that has nothing to do with church, and something happened in the movie, I'm like, yeah, that is it. So for me, God talks to me in movies. God talks to me in music. God talks to me when I pray. God talks to me from his word. God talks to me when I'm having conversation with other people of God. So I won't tell you that this is the way God is going to talk to you. God talks in numerous ways. God will talk to you from your environment. So what is important is being able to be still. The word of God says, be still and know that I am God. And when we are still, we can hear, we can listen, we can see God. So if we are intentional about hearing from God, then we will hear from God. We do not hear from God a lot of times because we are too busy or we are too worried about how is he going to talk to me. And a lot of us are not having that relationship because of sin in our life. So because we have sin in our life, we are scared of God. So we don't even want to hear from him because we are afraid. Oh, what if he tells me, do this? Oh, I'm going to lose that. I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss my income and all this stuff. And then we are worried about the cares of the world. No, if we have a good relationship with God, God as our father, as our parent, as whomsoever we want him to be in our life, will never leave us comfortless, will never give us bad things. He says in his word that a nursing mother can forget to give milk to his child. that he as our God will never forget us. So because God cares for us and is what tells us that his end, his purpose is for our good. God wants to bring us to an expected end, which is for our own good. So if we trust God enough, then we can listen to God. We just have to slow down, calm down, study the word of God, go to church, and when you wake up in the morning, pray and say, God, speak to me today. God will speak to you. Try that. Ask God that today I need you to speak to me, and be intentional to hear God and see God speaking to you. Don't just say, God, speak to me, and then you get up and then you forget about your prayer. So God is telling you, okay, hold on, or go this way, or don't go that way. You are not even seeing or hearing because you are not paying attention. So the key thing is for us to have the relationship with God. And when we have that relationship, to be still and listen. And when we do that, we will hear, because God is constantly talking to us.
And for anybody on social media, you can hear anytime there's a news report about one of the police-related killings, your timeline is filled with anger. People just very, very angry. And not only do they just feel anger, they feel like everyone should be angry about this. And what do you say to those people who are angry and they really don't want to hear this message about peace, so to speak? What would you say to those people?
Well, I will say, deferring to the word of God, be angry but sin not. I mean, to be angry is not the issue. How do we express our anger is the issue. You can be angry and not sin. You can be angry because we have what we call holy indignation. It's the same word as saying holy anger. I mean, Jesus Christ was angry when he went to the church and people were turning the house of God into a house of commerce, cheating people out of their money with a money exchange. And Jesus turned the table to tell them, you can't do that here. Get your business outside of this building. This is the house of God. So we can be annoyed. We can be angry. But that we are annoyed and angry doesn't mean we should become violent. Doesn't mean we should become disrespectful. Doesn't mean we should become destructful. So when we are angry, because sometimes it takes you to be angry enough to say, okay, I'm sick and tired of being tired. I got to do something about this. So when we get that anger, ask yourself, how do I bring in God into my anger so that my good will not be evil spoken of? So we can be angry, but we shouldn't let that anger go for a long time. And when we are angry, we need to channel that anger correctly. Like sometimes, I tell people, okay, Black life matters, blue life matters, all life matters, because God created all of us and God gave Jesus for all of us, not just only human beings, but for all of his creation. So all of God's creation matters to God. But I will not subscribe to when you trying to protest, you are hijacking a peaceful event somewhere that somebody already paid for. You go there, take their microphone and turn it to something else. Even though you are doing the right thing, you have to look at your system. I mean, with the wave of things going on right now, I'm sure Black Life, other activists of movements can actually organize their own program, even in stadium, and get thousands of people to come and speak even to the situation that we have in the country, rather than going in to hijack, which is like, doing the wrong thing in order to achieve the right thing. So let's ask ourselves, how or what method are we using to express ourselves? It matters how we express ourselves. We should do all things, like the word of God says, decently and in order.
You have any parting thoughts or final thoughts for how to be peaceful in the face of a storm?
I would just say, Jesus loved you. Jesus loved me. Storm will always be there. And God is always there for us. God is always available. We need to appropriate the grace, the mercy of God into our life. And part of doing that is being still, knowing who God is, having a relationship with God, listening to God, and letting go and letting God.
All right. How can people find more about you and find out more about your ministry, Calvary Gathering Ministry?
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. You can find more about me, about us. We are on Facebook, and we have a website. The website name is long. It's calvarygatheringmi.wixsite.com/wholeness. And, of course, you can reach me on my phone, 901-292-5207. Thank you.
No problem. If, in case someone was in the car and wasn't able to write that down, those will be on the show notes on our website, leadingmennow.com, and on Facebook. So if you weren't able to write that down, we'll find that for you and make sure you get that information. Thank you, Reverend D.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
That was Reverend Ademola Shadende from Calvary Gathering Ministry. Please check out the show notes on our website at leadingmennow.com for more information on Reverend D and his ministry. This podcast was a blessing to you. Please let us know by emailing us at contact@leadingmennow.com. You may also email us questions or feedback on this episode, and we may read it on the next podcast. Also, don't forget to take a few seconds to provide a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. You can also follow us on SoundCloud, Twitter, and Facebook at Leading Men Now. And let's continue the conversation with the hashtag Leading Men Now. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.